Today we'll be reading from 1 John chapter 3 into chapter 4. It's on page 987 in these Bibles in the pew. Chapter 3, verse 19. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Chapter 4. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Thank you, Sam. Friends, do have that part of God's word open in front of you. Maybe it's on the one page. Mine's on the same page. Maybe we have to flick, but we'll be looking at chapter 3 and 4 together as we think about this theme of walking in confidence. If you're new to Nowhere tonight, we have been going through this series, Walk Assured, and so this is just where we're at. This is our sixth sermon in the series. So I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, there'll be a little clip on the screen. It's going to test your knowledge of popular movies from yesteryear. But that's neither here nor there. What's important is that we pray. So let me pray. Our good and our gracious God, we thank you for your word. We really do. We thank you that you've given it to us, and we have it in a language that we can read. Thank you you've sent your Son, the Word made flesh. And thank you, you've given us your Spirit to help us understand. And so, Spirit, please speak through me, and please work in the life of each one of us here so we can understand your word, understand who you are more, and walk in the likeness of Jesus. And in his name we ask, amen.
Confidence in sunshine, I have confidence in rain, I have confidence that spring will come again, besides which you see I have confidence in me. Strength doesn't lie in numbers, strength doesn't lie in wealth, strength lies in nights of peaceful slumbers. When you wake up, wake up, it tells thee all I trust I leave my heart to, all trust becomes my own. I have confidence in confidence alone.
Oh, help.
We can be like that at times, can't we? Right, just springing our step, walking with confidence, all the self-affirmations, and then, poof, if you're familiar with the story, Maria is now before the mansion of the Von Trapp family. Confidence shattered in that moment. Anyone singing along? Confidence in sunshine and rain, all those kind of things? Some younger ones as well, look at that. But the same thing can happen in our life. Crisis of confidence comes, often comes when we would least like it to. And a crisis of confidence can also come in our faith, in our walk with God, in our confidence in who he says we are. We get the, oh, help moments. And so maybe at this point, we can ask ourselves, how confident do you feel in your relationship with God right now? How confident are you that you are a genuine, authentic Christian? And are you always confident that you're a genuine, authentic Christian, for those of us that say that we are? Now, the reality is, for most of us who are Christians, We struggle with doubts. We have those oh help moments. We struggle to have confidence in every single aspect of all our days. We do ask, am I really saved? Will God continue to love me? Will he give up on me at some point? And there can be so many reasons that come that shake our faith, that cause us to have those oh help moments. It could be a close friend of ours has left the faith. It could be pain and hurt that we've experienced. It could be unanswered questions. It could be just it's so hard. It might be that there just could be another way. So many other people follow all sorts of other things. And we can have moments of a crisis of faith. You know what? Perhaps even doing this series has led you to a crisis of faith. Because we know that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and all the work of Jesus. And in the Gospel of John, he talks a lot about obey the commands, that's how you know. Love others, that's how you know. And maybe you get to this point, like, my faith is actually a little bit more shaky than it was back in January. Many of us ask, am I truly a Christian? At least in some point in our life. Now, that is a question that's not unique to us. That's a question that in some way the original readers of John's gospel, or John's letter were asking. It's a big reason why John has written this letter, to assure the believers. And so today, as we look at these verses in 1 John, we're going to see that he very directly says it is actually possible to walk with confidence in relationship with God every day. It is possible. In fact, it is given to us. That we can. Now, if you're not a Christian, then we are so glad you're here. You're super welcome to be here. We love the fact that you're with us. And you have a unique position tonight as you engage with this part of God's Word and hear this sermon that we're going through together. Because this is written directly to the Christian to give them confidence. And so for you, it's a bit like if you're a work experience kid and you go into another workplace and you get to see, hear, experience what the work is like, what the people are like, and then go, oh, this is what it is. Maybe I want to pursue that more. Because what you are going to hear tonight is where a Christian finds their confidence. Whereas a Christian can be fully confident and assured in every aspect of their life and how it actually is far beyond and doesn't compare to the way that we can experience confidence in any other way. And so that's the direction that we're going tonight. Now, if you remember, as we look at the letter of John, he is writing with a purpose to assure the church, because the problem is that there's been people that have left who are influential in the church and calling them away from the genuine Jesus, from the real Jesus we read about in the Bible, and is telling them that the way you live doesn't matter. And John is writing to address that. He wants to remind them of the authentic Jesus, the one we read about in the Bible, and that those who have faith in him, like, live it out. It actually changes who we are. But it seems, especially in that emphasis of reminding us that it changes the way we live, that Christians are asking, what if I don't live up to that? What if I can't seem to obey the commands in the way that maybe I'm understanding it to be asked of me? What if I don't live up to it? And John knows, like us all know, when you're lacking in confidence, what do? You search for something to give you confidence. You're in a scramble. You try to hold on to something, remind yourself of something, do something so you have confidence. You scramble to find confidence in something. Now, for us, it could be all sorts of things. It could be we look within. We do similar to what Maria was doing, those self-talk affirmations, or we have our positive words, whatever it may be. We might look to a past experience that we've had. We could look to what someone else is doing to give us confidence. And there's a place for all those things. It could be something else entirely. And there is a place for those things. But in some way, all of them will let us down at some point. That none of them are ultimately secure. Because you can do a whole bunch of self-affirmations, but what if they're a lie? You might look to past experiences, but what if you don't have a good one or one that relates? You might look to the experiences of someone who's gone before you or beside you, but you go, I could do nothing like what they're doing. Maybe they have a way greater capacity than you, and so therefore it's not helpful at all. We need a far better place to source our confidence from. John wants to point us toward the right place to find our confidence. And he says, this is where. These verses point to where we can find our confidence. When you're scrambling, this is where you go. And so there's heaps going on here, but I'm going to share with from these passages four ways where we find our confidence in God as Christians. The first place of where we find our confidence in God, that we are Christian, is in God's greatness. Our confidence comes from his greatness and in his character. Have a read with me, chapter 3, verse 19 through to 21. Follow along. It says this, "This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God." Now, can I say, those are some of the most confusing verses you will read. When I first read that, I thought I understood it, and then I read it again, and then I just got more confused. The more I read it, I got more confused, genuinely. And the reason that I can be confident to say I was confused is because then you can go look at other English translations, and they read differently. Translations always read differently because they use different words, they have a different method of translation, but the meanings were different. Now, I don't say that to confuse you. I say that to say there are some parts of the Bible which are hard to understand. And I'm not going to present to you all the different ways of understanding these verses. What I want to help us to see is what is, in a sense, sure, what we can be confident, what is John certainly pointing towards from here. Now, the verse starts in verse 19. This is how we know we belong, how we set our hearts at rest, and then has a colon. I thought when I was first reading it that this verse is pointing forward, meaning John is about to tell you how you can be confident. And then he goes on to these tests about the heart. If your heart doesn't condemn you, or if your heart does condemn you, that's how you're going to know. That is almost certainly not what John is doing. And the NIV is actually a little bit unhelpful in how it's written here. When you look at some other translations, it actually points the verse backwards to look at what happened in verse 18. And so I'm going to reread it with verse 18 and put some emphasis on different parts. Perhaps it will help you understand. So from verse 18, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. By doing this, you will know that you belong to the truth and how you set your heart at rest in his presence. For whenever our heart is condemning you, know that God is greater than that feeling, for he knows everything." And that is actually a much more consistent way to understand the verse, and also consistent in the letter and in the Bible as a whole. It's pointing us towards verse 18, which means the verse isn't testing confidence. It's not "this is how you know" as a test. It is giving confidence. Christian, you can know that you are secure in Christ. He's telling the first Christians, and he's telling us, if you believe in him, and that's expressed in our lifestyle, then you can be confident. It doesn't matter internally what is going on. Your heart internally might be condemning you, but despite that feeling, you can trust in the greatness of God. As Christians, we know, as a genuine Christian, I imagine you felt this, I feel this. We love Jesus. We know him from the Bible. And we are trying to love people, but we know that we suck at it sometimes. And when we suck at it sometimes, that inner voice, that inner feeling comes and it's like condemning us. And there can be all sorts of reasons for that. But that inner voice or conscience or guilt, shameful feeling, whatever it is, that eats up inside us, that says we're not living up to the standard of Jesus and perfection. Now we know from the rest of the letter, from what we see throughout the Bible, that our love for other people doesn't save us. You love people more or love people less doesn't change God's love towards you. Right? We know that clearly. What John is impressing on us is don't base your confidence on how your heart is feeling. Don't look internally towards you to know that you have confidence before God. You want to put your heart at ease? Look to God. Look to his assessment. Look to his greatness. Look to his knowledge. Because he is far greater and he brings comfort and he brings security. Perhaps this story from my life might be helpful. When I worked in construction, project management, one of the jobs I worked on was at Mac Uni, and it was a substantial job for timber. And it was big for our company to do. Relatively small in monetary terms, but it was significant. And I was super stressed. I was proper stressed in this job. I was working really hard, but there was a couple of problems that came out. We weren't quite reading our KPIs in a few different areas. And I was very anxious. My heart was condemning me. I'd call my wife, Elizabeth, at lunch just to de-stress for a little bit. And my performance review was coming up. That just made me more anxious. But actually, when I went to the performance review and I had a chat down with the boss, the one who is greater, the one who knows more than me, he said, "Matt, I can see your commitment. I can see you're working hard. Yeah, we know that there's mistakes. That's okay. And actually, Matt, there's been a bunch of things that you don't know about that has contributed to what has gone on here that I know about. And so you can be confident, Matt. Keep going, keep working hard. I can see you're stressed. It's all right, keep going." Now, what changed for me there was not my work. What changed for me was his assessment of me. And so in the same way, in my boss, greater knows more, God is greater and he knows more. And how he sees is what's important, not necessarily what our heart is feeling. And that's how we are to read verse 20. That's how we can put our heart at ease. So then when you read verse 21, this is the result that comes from not having a condemned heart. When you don't have a condemned heart, what? You are confident before God because you know there isn't a barrier there. You're seeing yourself through God's eyes correctly. And that's how you can rest in your presence, rest in the presence of God. Our confidence comes from resting in the reality of God's greatness, not in our feelings or that inner voice inside of us to say that we're not good enough. Confidence comes from Him, not from in our heart. One commentator named Burge, I think, summarizes it so well, and so I'll just read you what he said. He said, "Our assurance is anchored in God and God alone, never in our own ability to generate feelings of confidence. John is urging that God is the final arbiter of our personal spiritual well-being. We do not look into our hearts to see if we feel secure and then use this as evidence of our security in the truth." So Christian, where do you find your confidence? You look to the greatness of God, not to the feelings within. That's number one. This now brings us to number two. The second place where we find our confidence is in God's word. We find our confidence in what God says. When we have a look at verses 22 and 23, in comparison to the verses before, which are relatively confusing and tough to understand, 22 and 23 are relatively simple to understand, which I was thankful for. Let me read it to you again and just dip back into verse 21 a bit. It says, "Dear friends, we know we're confident before God, and we receive from Him what we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He has commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him." God says, those that put their belief, their faith in Jesus, they're living it out, you can be confident. That's what God's word is. That is what He is saying. Now, the interesting thing here about what the way John has written it, he says, you've got to follow God's commands, plural. And then he says, this is the command, verse 23, singular. Then he says what the command is, which is to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. I said, hold on, is it one, is it two? What's going on here? It's very important to understand it's a singular command. Belief in the Son, loving one another, are a perfectly united command. It's a bit like if you were to go into a plane, right? And you think, all right, I'm going to go up in a plane, but I'm just going to go up in the left wing. Like, well, you're going to go nowhere. It doesn't work at all. And in the same way we need two wings on a plane, these two commands are one singular command. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and for that to express itself in love is this one and the same. Perfectly united. Now, that doesn't mean you have to understand everything about Jesus. It doesn't mean you have to reach a certain level of love or a certain amount of time doing it. No, it's Jesus is your Lord, genuinely, and God says you can be confident, Christian, because of what God has said. God gives us the confidence, nothing more, nothing less. We're not left doubting. There's no if, buts, or maybes. Just like when a judge at the end of a day in a courtroom slams down the gavel, says, whatever the verdict is, God's verdict is, those that have their faith in Jesus, confidence is yours. You don't need to look for anywhere else. We find our confidence in God's word and what he says. That's number two. Then we come to the third way, the third place where we find our confidence as Christians, and that's we know and have the presence of God. The third place where we find our confidence is that we have the presence of God. God has given us himself in the person of the Spirit. Have a read. We'll pick up at back end of verse 24, where God says, those who follow his commands live in him and he in them. And we know this, that he lives in us. How? We know it by the Spirit he gives us. He says almost same in chapter 4, verse 13. And then if you read into 16, and we know and we rely on God's love for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. The way God wants to give us confidence is, I'm going to give you myself. We talk about the work and the person of the Holy Spirit a lot, as we should. It is incredible that God would choose to give himself to us. And he's saying, that's how you know you can be confident. And in the letter of John, the evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in your life is you believe the truth. Other parts of the Bible, we hear of other indicators to the fact that we have the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, it is clear. You believe in the truth of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life. You believe in the work of the Holy, you believe in the truth of the Lord Jesus? The Holy Spirit is at work in your life. You can have confidence that God is present within you, walking beside you and with you. When I was 16, my family took me to South America to visit a missionary family over there as a way of supporting them. And anyway, we did the Inca Trail over there, which goes into Machu Picchu. And I had no idea about where to go, what to do, all these kind of things. But you go with a guide. And our guide was Incan. His ancestry goes back to the people that kind of paved that first road. And so when I'm walking along this place, I've never been, I have no idea where I'm going, my confidence is in this Incan guide. It's not in my shoes, it's not in the tent, it's not in the buddies with me, it's not in the brochure, it's not in the map that's in our pocket. The confidence that I could have is the fact that the Incan guide is there with us. And in our faith, it's way more expansive than that. God himself comes in us, and his presence gives us confidence. You are not alone. You are not forsaken. You are not irrelevant. God himself, the one of all eternity, past, present, future, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb, the one who sent the Son for you, for us, has chosen to dwell within you. And he says, Christian, have confidence because I've given you myself. I live in you. That's the third way. Which brings us to the fourth way, the fourth place where we find our confidence as Christians from this passage, is that we know God's love. We can have confidence where? Because we know that we have God's love. We have the love of Christ, and that is how the love of God is shown to us, and that's what casts out all fear. Have a look at chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. It says, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we're like Jesus. There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, all the love that John is talking about here in verses 17 and 18 point directly back to the love he's spoken about in verses 7 to 12. The love of God, God who is love. How did he show his love among us? He sent his son Jesus as the atoning sacrifice for sins. That is the greatest expression of love that can be. And because we are in Christ, we are then in that love. And when we realize that, when that gets deep into our hearts, our minds, our souls, and when we know we are loved beyond measure because we're in Christ, all fear goes out of us. Because the God of love has made the way. His love becomes perfected in us. And especially there's no fear of death. There's no fear of judgment day. Because friends, there is a day, we read about it in the Bible, where we all stand before the throne of God above. And at that point, we're either with Jesus or without him. in the love of God or without the love of God. And so, friend, Christian, if you're in the love of, if you're in Christ, when you stand before the throne of God above, God is looking at you through the lens of Jesus because you're in him. And at that point, there is no fear for you at all. What have you got to fear? Jesus has consumed all the punishment for us. God himself has made a way. There's no fear left for you. Nothing that can make you afraid when we know the love of God is within us in Christ. And so God's love fills you with confidence. Confidence to walk. And the more we understand it, the more we are perfected in love, to use the language here. So where is it that you and I, Christian, can find our confidence? We find our confidence in God's greatness, in God's word, in God's presence, and in God's love. That is where we find our confidence, which means our confidence is actually God-centered. As Martin Luther says, most of your Christian life is actually outside of yourself. The confidence isn't conjured up within us, it is in him. And so in the sense that most of our Christian life is outside of us, is like when we're saying, when you feel the, oh, help moment, or the, am I truly confident? When our hearts feel condemned, we don't look within us. We don't try to conjure it up some level of confidence. We look towards God. We look to him sending his son. We look to him, the son, hanging on the cross, risen again in glory. And we rest in God's assessment and his love for us. And because God is far greater than us, only he can give rest to our fragile, doubting, insecure hearts. He gives rest, peace to our heart, both for today and for eternity. And friends, you know in your life, when you are confident in something, that changes the way that you live. When I play soccer, when I'm confident in my soccer ability, I play 10 times better. We know in our Christian walk, when we are confident, we relate to God in a far more enjoyable way. We are actually more free to love others because we're not expecting stuff in return. We are more confident to be ready, willing, and able to embrace whatever it is and wherever it is that God calls us to be. Our hearts are at rest in love for others. There is no fear in death. And this week I came across a story of a man named John Harper. John Harper, I think he captures the heart of what it looks like to rest for today and for eternity and how it inspires you in the moment. Now, John was a Baptist pastor, and he boarded the Titanic in 1912. His wife had died a couple of years before, and so he went with his sister and his little daughter. As we know, the Titanic hit an iceberg and was doomed from there. John got his sister and his daughter and took them to lifeboat 11 and put them on lifeboat 11. He got down on his knees, kissed his daughter goodbye, and said, "I will see you again someday." Confident. With his loved ones safely away, the story goes that Harper returned to the deck yelling out, "Women and children and all the unsaved onto the lifeboats." And he went out from there, and then as the ship broke in two, he jumped into the water with many others. And he was swimming around going to people asking them, "Are you saved?" He went up to a young man, asked him, "Are you saved?" And the young man wanted to have nothing to do with it, said, "No." So John Harper said, took off his life vest and said, "Here, looks like you need this more than me," and gave it to him. Went off to speak to some other people, eventually came back to the man, and the miraculous hand of God, that man came to Christ and is now the one that tells the story. And John Harper drifted into the Atlantic depths of the ocean, plunged in there, but thrown into eternity with confidence, 100% confidence. He knew that he would see his daughter again. He knew that he could love these other people he did not know. He knew he could give his life vest to someone else because there was no fear in death. And his heart was at rest to know that he could love others above himself in that moment. That's what it looks like for a heart to be at rest. confidence in God's love for you in every aspect, and confidence of who he is changes everything about our life. And so, friends, where do you, Christian, the one who believes in Jesus and is seeking to follow him, where do you find your confidence? You find it in God. You find it in God alone. You find it in his greatness. You find it in his word. You find it in his presence within you. And you find it in his love for you. And when we have that and it sinks deep into our souls, we're perfected in love, our heart is at rest. Our heart is at rest for today and for all of eternity. And I know I need a lot of prayer for that to sink deep into my soul. And I'm sure we all do too. So let me pray. Our good, grand, glorious, great God, thank you that we find our confidence in you. Thank you you don't ask us to conjure it up within ourselves, because we would do a terrible job at that. Thank you that we can have confidence in who you are and what you've done for us, and that our relationship with you is secure because what you have done, and we look on the Lord Jesus in faith. Thank you that you say that is enough. Father, please compel us, inspire us to love you more and more all the days of our life. But more than that, may your love perfect every aspect of who we are. And may we be at rest for today and to eternity, and live out all of our days for your glory and the blessing of the world around us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.